Merry Christmas. So lovely having so many visitors with us this morning. Whether you've come from near or far, a big welcome to you. It's lovely to have so many new faces. Lovely to have some new friends with us. Lovely to see some people that we haven't seen in a little while. It's just so lovely to meet here on Christmas Day. One of the families has moved into the choir room, so there's a few more spots, just making sure we're okay with COVID distancing. I never thought I'd be worrying about keeping people out of church before, but that's the kind of year we've been having. This year at Dixon Baptist at Christmas, we've been looking at some of those big themes of Christmas, hope and joy and peace. And this morning we're going to be looking at love. If you've got a Bible there with you, we've got two readings for this morning. The first one is from John chapter 1. John chapter 1, starting at verse 9. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. The second reading is in the letter of 1 John, 1 John chapter 4, starting at verse 7. 1 John chapter 4, starting at verse 7. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Would you pray with me as we come to God's word this week? Father, it's a joy for us. Gives us great peace, it gives us great hope to know that you, the living God, love us, that you care for us. And as we look at your love this morning, would you open our eyes to see the glory of Jesus, full of grace and truth, to see again the wonder of what you did that first Christmas morning, sending your Son to save the world. Would you open our eyes so that we can see you, that we can see Jesus. We pray this in his name. All right, this is the danger for coming on Christmas Day. Well, I don't want a lot for Christmas. There is just one thing I need. I don't care about the presents underneath the Christmas tree. I just want you for my own, more than you could ever know. Make my wish come true. Woo! All I want for Christmas is you. Sorry, it's just been that year. I haven't sung enough. And I apologize because you will now have that stuck in your head for the rest of the day, probably the rest of the week. I apologize. Mariah Carey released All I Want for Christmas Is You in 1994. It's been a staple on Christmas playlists ever since. I'm sure you now can go home and sing it yourself. When it was released, one critic said this. He said it was one of the few worthy modern additions to the holiday canon. And in the time it was released in 1994, it's earned over $60 million in royalties. In 2019, last year, 25 years after it was released, it reached number one on the Billboard Hottest 100 in December. Not bad for 15 minutes work, hey? You know that? Mariah Carey and her co-writer wrote it, banged out the basic melody and the chords and the basic lyrics in just 15 minutes. Now, what is it that Mariah Carey put her finger on that has hit such a nerve, that's made it such an instant and enduring classic? What is it? I mean, people have noticed it's catchy, it gets stuck in your head, there's something timeless in the style of it. It could have been written in the 50s or in the 70s or in the 90s. But I think it's this. She's just come across one very simple idea and she just drives it home and again. And she says that all of the Christmas cheer, all of the presents, the tree, the stockings, the reindeer, the lights, the snow, all of it, none of it can compare to love. None of it can actually compare to love. All she wants for Christmas is love. Now, of course, she's thinking about a certain kind of love, the kind of love that involves hanging around under the mistletoe. That's lovely. But our thoughts do turn to love at Christmas, don't they? We had some uni students visiting Dixon a couple of weeks ago, visiting with our church, doing some ministry for our carol service, and they did a bit of a survey. They went around into the shops and they surveyed people about what they thought Christmas was about. Just people in the shops here in Dixon, what does Christmas mean? What do you think Christmas means? Overwhelmingly, people said that Christmas was mainly about family. That was the number one answer by a long margin. What is Christmas about? People said that Christmas was about family. Two of the enduring images you are guaranteed to see in the advertising every Christmas. Happy families and friends sitting around a laden table, and happy families and friends snuggled together around a Christmas tree. You know you're going to see those images. Something about Christmas for us is about love, where we gather, hopefully, please, one day soon, with those that we love. That's what Christmas is about. For Christians, Christmas is also about love. In fact, for Christians, love shines all through Christmas. It's like just a little line of fairy lights that is strung around a Christmas tree with each little light shining out of the boughs. Christmas is about the love of God expressed to the human race. At Christmas, we remember Jesus' birth. Not just the birth of any baby. That's lovely, it's beautiful, but not just the birth of any baby. This is God coming in the form of Jesus Christ to be born and to live as a human. God comes to dwell with humanity. Now, to understand Jesus' birth, we need to understand a little bit about God. John was one of Jesus' closest disciples. One of his closest disciples, and he wrote a letter to the early church. We read a little bit of it earlier in 1 John, 1 John chapter 4. He writes this in verse 7 and 8. I'll read it again. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. Now, in two little verses, John drops two huge ideas. Firstly, he says that God is the source of love. That's where love comes from. Love comes from God. But secondly, he says that God is love. What does that mean? He isn't just saying that God is loving and that God shows love. That's true and that is wonderful, but it's more than that. He's saying more than that. He's saying God is love. See, in Christian thought, there is one God in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. From all eternity, these three persons have lived together, united perfectly in love. That's the idea of the Trinity. God is love because God is a Trinity of loving relationship in Himself. See, I might be a loving person. You might be a loving person, but until there is another person toward whom I can express this love, that impulse is not possible. I can be loving, but I can't be love. But God in Himself is love because God has lived from all eternity in a trinity of loving relationship. If you're struggling with the maths of all that, the oneness and the threeness of that, well, that's okay. Welcome to the club. Everyone who's wrestled with that has been confused by that. The point of it is this, though. God is love. And at Christmas, love came down. The Son of God, the second member of the Trinity, came to earth and was incarnate as a member of the human race. God came down. We have four biographies of Jesus in the New Testament: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. If you've never read the story of Jesus' life, I'd really encourage you to pick one of those books and read through and see what Jesus is like. They were written by eyewitnesses or people that were close to those eyewitnesses. And all of those gospels, all of those biographies have a lot to say about love. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, in their gospels, the first mention of love happens at a particular incident. Jesus is grown up and he's baptized in the Jordan River. We'll read it from Luke's gospel. Luke writes for us, "When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, 'You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased.'" You are my Son, whom I love. With you I'm well pleased. This moment in the Gospels, it's like a family photo of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit descends on the incarnate Son of God and the voice of the Heavenly Father speaks, "You are my Son, whom I love." We get to see and hear the love of God expressed in the Trinity. And this is where it gets interesting for you and me, though. In John's Gospel, the fourth biography in John's Gospel, the first mention of love is in John 3:16. One of the most famous verses in the Bible. It says this, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." Why did Jesus come into the world? He didn't need to. He didn't have to. There was no necessity. Jesus existed in perfect love and intimacy and unity with his Heavenly Father and the Holy Spirit from all eternity. So why would Jesus come and live among us? Quite simply, because God loved the world. And he wanted to save the world through his Son. It was God's love that brought Jesus into the world. Let's go back to John's letter. He has said that God is love, and then he says this, 1 John 4:9-10. It says, "This is how God showed his love among us. This is how God showed his love. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, that he loved us, and he sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." God is love, and in his love, he sent Jesus into the world to rescue us from our sins. A sacrifice needed to be made for our sin, and this is how God showed his love. God himself came in Jesus Christ and sacrificed himself for our sins. That's love. God coming to rescue us. That baby in the manger that the shepherds come and see, that baby in the manger that the wise men come to worship, that one that the angels sing about, that baby in the manger is the very picture of the sacrificial love of God. God's sacrificial love for the world. Now, because the Son of God came into the world, there is a beautiful promise for us. Not only do we see the depth of God's love for us coming to rescue us, we also receive an invitation, and it is an invitation into the family of God. We are given an invitation into his family. John in his gospel wrote about Jesus coming into the world, and tragically, he says that when the Son of God himself comes into the world that he created, people rejected him and refused him, refused to believe in him, refused to let him rescue them. It's a tragedy. But then he says this, "He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. If we receive Jesus, turn away from our sin, turn to him as our Savior and our Lord, we become children of God. God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world. He sent his Son into the world to bring us into his family. Let me read one more verse from John's letter. He said this, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are." I hope you can see the way that love runs all the way through Christmas. God is love. Jesus is the beloved Son of God. And because God loved the world so much, he gave his one and only Son. By receiving the Son, we are given forgiveness. We are given eternal life. And best of all, we become beloved children of God. So receive him. That's the invitation. To receive Jesus as your Savior and as your Lord and to be welcomed into the family of God. That's the invitation of Christmas. That invitation of love for all the world. I'm going to finish with a prayer that's written in the New Testament, that our eyes would be open to the immense love of God. Would you join with me and pray? Let's pray again. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever